State of opportunity.
State of opportunity.
I want to be a firefighter.
A ballerina.
I want to be a Batman.
This is a State of Opportunity documentary from Michigan Radio. I'm Jennifer Guerra. Today, Connections, the Power of Networks, Part 2. Yesterday on the podcast, we heard from a young mother in poverty who is struggling to build a network out of nothing. So I thought I'd switch things up for a few minutes here and talk to somebody who is a pro at networking. He has one of the best networks around, at least in my circle of friends. His name is Chris Druin. I caught up with him at the office coffee shop in Royal Oak. And after we hug and say what's up, he immediately starts pitching me on the place. I mean, he can't help it. He is a born networker.
This whole front section here is Michigan-made products, and it's one of those like monthly services.
I met Chris in high school. He's a few years older than me. When I posted a status update on my Facebook page asking for folks to name the best networker they knew, Druin named himself.
I don't know if I said I'm the best networker. I'm cocky, but I'm not that cocky. I'm frequently known from my friends as the guy that's got a guy. If you blew out a tire on a pothole, call Druin, he's got a guy. You need a handyman, a mortgage banker, a plumber, I mean.
You get the picture. He is connected to so many people through his work, through his church, through his college fraternity. He even refs lacrosse teams in the area. Now, Druin does come from an upper middle class background. His parents are both professionals. So to a large extent, his network was already made for him. But it wasn't really until college that he realized just how important it was to be a good networker.
In college, I was a bartender. And I think that was kind of, I always kind of looked at being behind the bar as being the host of a party to make sure everyone at the bar was having a good time. Because the better time they had, the better my tips were.
Since then, he's graduated, and he's done everything from finance to social media management. But he says, in terms of learning how to network, you can't beat being a bartender. So I ask him, what networking advice would you give to somebody who's 18 or 19 years old and comes from a very low-income family?
I would get to any restaurant I could, anywhere in Oakland County. If I was in Detroit, I would make sure I'd go to Midtown or Corktown or down in Greektown and just beg, borrow, and plead for a job that started doing whatever. I'll bus tables, I'll host, I'll bar back, I'll wash dishes, and just tell them with the attitude of, but I want to work my way up to bartender. Like, if you give me a job, I will show up on time every single day, I will work my butt off, I will pick up any shift you want, but I eventually want to get behind the bar. Because it's really good money, it's really good way to network and find opportunities.
I think it's a great idea.
I'd like you to meet restaurant owner Dennis Archer Jr.
I mean, I look at my bartenders and the type of clientele that we have that comes here from all walks of life, some very notable, some extraordinarily successful. And if you're the bartender or the server, you talk to everybody. I mean, that's your job. And so I can't think of any better way for someone that doesn't have that exposure to get that exposure.
Dennis Archer Jr. owns Central Kitchen and Bar in Midtown Detroit. He's also the son of former Detroit Mayor Dennis Archer. Dennis Archer Jr. has an ease about him, the kind of guy who looks just as comfortable in a boardroom as he does at a bar. And while he didn't set out to build a formal network for inner city youth in Detroit, he has created an informal network for at least one teen who works at his restaurant.
Literally, every time I'm sitting here eating with somebody, I drag them over here and introduce them to people all the time. And inevitably, those people say, hey, well, if I can do anything to help you, let me know, or that sort of thing.
Through this restaurant, I've met a lot of important people. It's like, it's great. Every day you see new faces. So it's like, the opportunities never end.
This is Devin Johnson. He's a 16-year-old high school senior who has quickly discovered there are more benefits to this busboy thing than just earning some extra cash.
Since I've been here, I have quite a few business cards in my wallet.
For real?
Yeah.
Like, do you have your wallet on you?
Yeah.
Let's look at that.
This one is from his friend Willie. This one is from Franklin and Marshall.
That's a college.
This one is from Ambassador Magazine.
Devin says whenever Dennis Archer Jr. introduces him, he calls Devin a superstar and a real hard worker. That is when they slip him their business cards. Do you think that other 16-year-olds in the city have a wallet that's stacked with business cards from, like, high-ranking people?
No. To be honest, I don't think so.
How does it make you feel to be able to have something like this?
I mean, it makes me feel like like I'm important, like I actually matter.
It's just about exposure.
Here is Dennis Archer Jr. again.
I mean, a lot of these kids, if they were to go with a professional just for a single day, I think it would be very eye-opening. But let alone have an ongoing relationship with someone, I think it's very important for those of us who have can afford the time, because it's not really an expense, to spend time with a kid. I mean, we all have, I'm involved in a lot. I have two great kids myself. But I can even find in my busy schedule some time to help guide or provide, you know, some insights and leadership to another young kid.
You are listening to Connections, The Power of Networks, a State of Opportunity special on Michigan Radio. I'm Jennifer Guerra. Dennis Archer Jr. hit on something that I want to explore a bit more. This idea of stepping in to be a mentor to somebody you have no connection to. You're not related. It's not even a friend of a friend. You don't run in the same social circles. So why do it? I put that question to a guy named Joaquin Nuno Whalen.
A big passion of mine is the gap that's happening in Detroit. There's a big gap of talent that we're not getting into the workforce.
Nuno Whalen is a chief engineer at General Motors. He does a lot of recruiting for GM, and he is tired of bringing in talent from other states. He wants to find talent here, in Michigan. So he's figured out a way to give underrepresented high school students real, hands-on engineering experience and help build the pipeline of talent in the area. He's teamed up with a Catholic high school in southwest Detroit. It's called Cristo Rey. Nuno Whalen is one of hundreds of white-collar workers in southeast Michigan who work with and mentor students there. Here's how it works. One day a week, beginning with freshman year, Cristo Rey students go to work for a white-collar company, like a law firm or an insurance agency, or, since this is Detroit, one of the car companies. Nuno Whalen, from GM, sees it as a win-win for both the auto industry and for the students.
The fact that the kids get to go to work one day a week is hugely mind-opening, eye-opening. The kids get to see things they would never have gotten to see. And it starts to instill some inspiration, but also it connects the dots as, oh, it is that easy. I just have to do this.
After 4 years in high school with an engineering internship, plus 4 years of college, Nuno Whalen says GM is going to be dying to hire these kids. And their resumes will float to the top of the pile, because now they know people on the inside. Mike Corey is president of Cristo Rey High School in Detroit. He says making sure the kids are challenged in school is, of course, a top priority. But he says the jobs program is really what helps level the playing field between rich kids from the suburbs and poor kids from the city.
I kind of view this as our kids' country club. This is where they're making the connections for themselves. This is where they're talking to so-and-so who could help get them a job over the summer. They're talking to someone who can help put in a good word for them at a university or a scholarship fund. So it really gives our kids access to some people that they would never have access to.
Corey tells me one donor gave a Cristo Rey student a $40,000 college scholarship. Another student got his tuition nearly covered by the company he interned for. And I'm told a bunch of students have already been promised full-time jobs when they finish college. So who gets into Cristo Rey? Well, the one in southwest Detroit is part of a national chain of high schools. There are 30 total across the country. Many of the schools have wait lists, but the Detroit one is still pretty new, so they're just trying to fill seats at this point. All the schools are specifically for low-income youth who otherwise would not be able to afford private school. At the Cristo Rey High School in southwest Detroit, the vast majority of students are Hispanic or African American, and the average family income is under $30,000. Parents kick in about $600 to $700 a year for tuition. The job partners cover the rest. So while the students do work, they don't get a paycheck. The money they earn at their internship goes to pay their private school tuition at Cristo Rey.
In many cases, our students have the best job of anyone in their family. And so this is important for our kids to see what opportunities are there. And then, because the companies are so welcoming to our students and encouraging, it's real easy for our kids to see the path to getting that as a career for them. But that path includes college.
Hi, my name is Laretha Burrell. I am a junior at Detroit Castore High School, and I work at GM.
I met up with Laretha during her second week as a student intern at General Motors. She's got the whole professional thing down. Strong handshake, direct, looks you in the eye. Right when we start to talk, the fire alarm goes off. So Laretha and I and the 8,000 other folks inside the GM Tech Center in Warren hit the stairs and head outside to the sprawling GM campus. While everybody around us is all abuzz about the fire drill, Laretha is the essence of calm. I don't find out until much later that fire is something she's all too familiar with. At 16 years old, she has experienced more trauma and heartbreak in her young life than anybody should. A house fire killed both her brothers earlier this year. Cortez Jr. was a senior at Cristo Rey. Cortez was in seventh grade. She understandably does not like to talk about it. But perhaps that, more than anything, has made her more determined to succeed in life.
I just want to work hard and be successful and give back to the people that have been through what I've been through, whether it was from a family member passing away or just losing everything. So that's what I would like to do.
She plans to make a living as a mechanical engineer and a math professor.
Have you ever met an engineer before?
No, I haven't.
When I say the word network, what do you think of?
The people that I know.
Do you think you have a strong network?
As of right now, no. But I feel like if I continue to work at GM and am exposed to different people and their different occupations, then I feel like I will have a strong network, yes.
How important is that?
It's very important because a lot of times it's not about what you know, it's about who you know and who can help you out and get you to where you need to be. So, yeah.
Do you think that's fair?
Not all the time, no. But occasionally, yes.
When it works out in your favor.
Right.
So soon you'll be somebody who knows somebody at GM.
Right. Yes. In the future I will be, yes.
But like 2 weeks ago, did you know anybody at GM?
Not at all. No, I didn't. But 2 weeks later, I know a handful of people, and that makes me feel better.
Now, it's not like she's building or designing cars at GM. For the first month while I was there, it was mostly just data entry stuff, some PowerPoint presentations, getting acquainted with the whole corporate culture. But Laretha is meeting people who do have clout at GM. And the internship lasts all year long, so she's guaranteed to interact with all types of engineers during that time. Plus, I'm told Laretha will get to do mock interviews, work on her elevator pitch for what she wants to do when she grows up, and get help with her resume. Three networking skills that will definitely come in handy when she graduates college. Twenty miles away in Auburn Hills, Osvaldo Lopez is getting his first taste of life as an engineer, not at General Motors, but at Fiat Chrysler.
Hey, Osvaldo, it's your first day. Good to see you too. This is Jennifer.
Osvaldo is a sophomore at Cristo Rey. He is shy and soft-spoken. This is his second year interning at Chrysler.
Last year, I was nervous I would get lost because it's big, but I'm not that nervous this year.
Last year, he worked in the product design department at Chrysler. This year, he is going to work in powertrain engineering with his new mentor, Aaron Waskevich.
I work in the lab, the hardware in the loop lab. Hardware in the loop is these big machines that electrically simulate the car.
In other words, everything that interfaces with the engine, Waskevich and her team have a hand in. And lucky Osvaldo, he gets to work with her. We go down to the basement level to the powertrain lab. Waskevich's desk is covered in cables and wires and intricate-looking computer chips. And within minutes, she has Osvaldo disassemble a silver piece of hardware called a module.
Okay, so gently pull this connector out and this connector off.
And with that, his internship has officially begun.
Yep, that's right.
Just now, let's leave Osvaldo there for a few minutes so we can get to know his mentor a bit better. I dropped by Aaron Waskevich's house one sunny Sunday afternoon.
Hi, Jennifer. Good. How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yes. Let me get you a drink. Would you like iced tea or lemonade or pop, coffee, hot tea?
Waskevich has this hosting thing down. She baked us all kinds of goodies. oatmeal raisin cookies, Rice Krispie treats, brownies. There is also apple slices and caramel. I tell you all this not to make you hungry, but to point out just the kind of person she is. She goes out of her way to make people feel at home. Like there's nothing better she'd rather be doing with her time than sitting inside on a gorgeous day talking to you. You can just tell this mentoring thing is in her bones.
I love it. It's one of my favorite parts of my job. Because you feel like you can make a difference. Send somebody in a good direction, you know, and hopefully they learn things and they might decide what they want to be.
Do you see any like parallels between your upbringing and the kids who are going to Cristo Rey?
Yeah, you know, I don't know, you know, everybody's background, you know, and I do know that we always had what we needed, but when I went away to college, you know, I met people that their kids, every time they go on like summer break, their parents would get them a job. They had like summer jobs in like professional offices and things because their parents knew somebody or their parents, you know, set it up for them. And it was never like that for me. You know, I've done it all on my own.
Waskevich's mom grew up poor in the shadow of the coal mines in West Virginia. Eventually, her mom moved to Detroit, found a job, and worked from the time she was a teen to the time she retired. By the time Waskevich was born, her mom and dad had worked their way up to the middle class.
You know, not big house middle class, but like smaller house middle class.
Her neighborhood was mostly working class folks, nurses and medical technicians, that type of thing. She wanted to be an engineer, but she didn't know any in her network or her neighborhood. So at college in the Upper Peninsula, she went the co-op route. She'd go to school for a couple semesters, then work at an engineering firm for a couple semesters, back and forth until she graduated. And she firmly believes her co-op job got her where she is today as one of the engineers in Fiat Chrysler's powertrain division.
Any opportunities I've had since then have all come from the experience or the people I've met back then. And that's what I love about the Cristo Rey program. I just love so much that these kids are getting this opportunity, you know, to meet people and get real world experience and contacts.
Talk about contacts. One ninth grader I talked to at Cristo Rey, who wants to be an engineer, told me he had already added 30 new engineering professional contacts to his LinkedIn profile. Back in the powertrain lab at Fiat Chrysler, Erin Waskevich tells me and Osvaldo, her current intern, about how the last Cristo Rey student she mentored got to meet somebody very high up in the company.
She got to speak with many key people in human resources, and she mentioned to these people how she would love to meet Sergio.
Sergio Marchione?
Yes, ma'am.
Have you met Sergio?
No. I've seen him in the hall. I've seen him. I have not spoke to him.
Turns out the president of Fiat Chrysler, Sergio Marchione, was too busy to meet with the student. But she did get to meet his second in command. She actually had a one-on-one meeting with him, got to ask him questions. Apparently it went really well. So I ask Osvaldo, if you could meet one of the bigwigs at Fiat Chrysler, what would you ask? Nothing sprung to mind immediately for him. It's understandable. This is, after all, only his second week at the company. But then he pipes up and says, yeah, he has a question for Sergio Marchione.
All right, how is it like to be owner of a big company?
Do you think you'd ever want to own a big company?
I mean, yeah, I think everybody does.
Well, if he plays his cards right, he just might. Coming up, when you're locked up in prison, away from everyone and everything you know and love, how do you build a new life for yourself when you get out?
I had no community to come home to. My parents were elderly. My brothers and sisters were grown and gone. I was literally starting over with what I came home with.
Tomorrow, we'll hear about life and networks after prison. You're listening to State of Opportunity from Michigan Radio.
Support for State of Opportunity comes from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, a partner with communities where children come first.